So I want to jump right into the Word, and then believe that we're going to go back into a time of worship and prayer here in just a little bit. Read from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 7, starting in verse number 6. But as you turn there, I want to put a challenge out to you. I said it in prayer this morning, or before service, we had our prayer meeting, and I feel that same challenge to the church. What could you do if you stopped believing the enemy? If you stopped believing the lies that the enemy puts into your head about who you can't be and what you can't do, what could you do? What could God do through you even this morning if you would stop believing the enemy and trust God? If you would trust His Word, if you would trust, as we heard this morning, the validity of the Word of God, the power of the Word of God, if you could trust Him, trust His Word, trust His promises on your life, what could you do? What kind of life could you live? That's real talk. That's not just in the moment. That's not just because we just had an awesome worship service and we're inspired, and so we can say fancy phrases and throw it out there and feel good and leave here and forget about it. That's not what that is. That's a challenge from God. What could you do if you'd let Him be God in you today? If you'd let Him do what He wants to do inside of you today? He is the only King forever. He is the Almighty God, the righteous God, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, the Prince of Peace. He is all of those things. He really is. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that He is the Lord. Everybody's going to acknowledge that someday. Sooner or later, they're all going to know. You and I are privileged that we know that now. And I wonder what would happen if you'd worship like you're capable of. If we'd worship like we're capable of worshiping. Think about that. We talked about it on the way to church this morning. Abby and I, there's a man that is on trial for beating a three-year-old to death, literally. There's another family situation of another individual for abusing a child. For years this went on. There are people in the world that are literally hurting. There are children that are hurting. There are all these things happening, and you and I get the privilege of being in the presence of God. Think about that. How awesome of a privilege is it to be here this morning, to be in a safe place, with the presence of an Almighty God that can protect you, that can hold you, that can heal you, that can do anything you need Him to do in your life. Brother Patterson taught this morning, can I trust His Word? And I talked to him afterwards. I said, that's incredible, because the message that I have today is, can I trust God? Can I trust Him? Can you trust Him? You believe in Him enough. We didn't talk. We didn't plan it out. Believe that God has a purpose in everything that He does. And there are questions here even this morning represented in the lives of every individual here this morning that God would like to let you leave here with peace, that you can trust His Word and that you can trust Him. If He spoke it, He will do it. If He wrote it, it will come to pass. It may not happen when you want it to, but it will happen. You can take it to the bank. We've got to trust Him. We've got to believe in Him. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, starting in verse 6, it says, "For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto Himself, above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set His love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because He would keep the oath which He had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love Him and keep His commandments to 1,000 generations." Can you trust a faithful God? He is faithful. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that in the next few moments that You'd have Your way in this place. I pray You'd talk to every heart, talk to every mind. I pray that all the walls would come down this morning, all the doubt would come down, the that we would trust your word this morning, that we would trust your power completely this morning in this place, that you would be able to do what only you can do, that you'd be able to do what you desire to do in this place, God, that you'd talk to every heart, that you'd talk to every mind, that everybody in this room would leave with peace this morning, would leave with strength and encouragement in their spirit this morning, that you have your perfect and complete will, Lord. You are truly the only King forever. You're the Almighty God. You have all power and authority and dominion, and we call on your name this morning. We declare the name of Jesus in this place this morning. Have your way in Jesus' name. We thank you and we love you. We worship you in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. In all of God's dealing with mankind, he's always proven himself to be faithful. There are certain things about God that do not change. He is holy. He cannot change that. Cannot separate himself from holiness. God cannot act apart from that. He's holy. He doesn't make moral mistakes. He doesn't. He doesn't wake up in a bad mood and decide he's going to sin today. He doesn't get tempted and decide that he's just not going to be holy anymore. If he does that, he stops being God. He's holy. The Bible says that he is love. Can't change that. Now, our modern, probably perverted sense of love does not accurately or adequately describe who God really is. When we think of love, we think of maybe a relationship, but in our day, relationships are come and go, in and out, whatever. That's not what love, according to him, is. Love is just. It's fair. It's judgment. That's love. He loved us unconditionally. He loved us enough to die for us. He didn't love us enough to walk out on us at some point. That wasn't what it was. It was a commitment. So he is love, and he is faithful. The Bible talks about him as the faithful God. If he's not faithful, then no, we can't trust him. If he's not faithful, then none of this makes any sense at all. If he's not faithful, why are we here? If God is not faithful, what's the point? If you worked for an employer that you didn't know if you were going to get a check next week because sometimes they gave it to you, sometimes they didn't, would you work for them? Absolutely not. I'm not taking that kind of risk. I don't go to work because I like to work. I go to work because I have to, because I need money. And so you want faithfulness out of that employer. That's the way God is. He's not unfaithful. He's not going to not reward you. The Bible says he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That is a testament to his faithfulness. If we will diligently seek him, he is a rewarder of that. He will answer you. He will meet you where you are. If God was not faithful, how frustrated would we be? You think that the situations that you're going through are the cause of, you think that he doesn't know where you're at. He thinks that we get to thinking that God doesn't really know anything about me. Nothing could be farther from the truth. We're frustrated because we don't understand the timing of God. We're frustrated because we don't always understand the big picture of what God is doing. But the fact of the matter is that God is faithful. And if he wasn't faithful, how miserable would we really be? If he wasn't, think about that. If God wasn't faithful, and I had to wake up every day thinking, there are certain religions that believe only a certain amount of people are going to make it to that heaven of heavens. I'm not interested in that. If I'm going to devote my life to something, I want a guarantee. And he guaranteed me that you come unto me, you repent, you're filled with my spirit, you can have everlasting life. I'm cool with that. I'm not cool with, you might be selected, Jan. You might be good enough. You might make it into that select few. No, that is not a faithful God. A faithful God says, come all. If you come, you repent, you're filled with his spirit, you have that guarantee. And so faithfulness is important to us. I think we could all tell of stories where people were unfaithful. In whatever walk of life, in some situation, and it's a great disappointment. One of the biggest disappointments you and I can face is when someone lies to you, when they let you down, when they say they're going to do something and they don't. We all have varying degrees of severity of that story that we could share. Each one is severe to us, but somebody else hears that and like, honey, nothing, man. Wait till you get through this. Wait till this happens to you. Wait till they let you down here. I hear people say it all the time. You can't trust anybody. Don't trust anybody. You can't trust people. People stink, all this stuff. It's like, well, we're all people. And the fact of the matter is we all let people down. We all do those things. But God does not. God is faithful. And our mentality sometimes of God is shaped off of what people have done to us. It's shaped off of a past. It's shaped off of what somebody might have said, what somebody might have done. And so we translate that into, well, I can't really trust God because I can't trust people. Well, God is not people. and people aren't God. God is faithful. He's faithful to us. If he said it, he'll do it. If he promised it, it will come to pass. He said in Malachi 3:6, I am the Lord, I change not. He doesn't wake up in a different mood every day. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. In Psalms 102, it says, of old hast thou laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment. As a vesture shalt thou change them, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same. The years shall have no end. The scripture makes it very plain that God does not change. And this morning, there are people in this room, and I've been in that situation where God has spoken something over your life and it didn't happen like you thought it should have. And so you think either we missed it or God lied. Either they totally were off base, they missed it, whoever spoke it, wherever you read it, however it came to be, you felt it in prayer. Man, I really missed that one. How did I miss? I knew that so strongly. It was even confirmed. Or God lied. No, he didn't. It's not time. It's not time. But God is faithful. See, man is not faithful. We're inconsistent. It's who we are. It's in our DNA. It's our makeup. We were born into a sinful nature. We change. You wake up in the morning, sometimes you're in a good mood, sometimes you're not. It's the same bed you slept in the night before, the same pillow. The temperature setting is the same. Everything is the same. Why would it wake up one day in a good mood and the next day in a bad mood? Why? Everything, and if it's me especially, everything I guarantee you is the same. My phone is in the same spot, OCD to the max. My phone is in the same spot. My ring is, I don't sleep with it on. I can't stand it, is in the same spot. Everything is laid out. So if everything in my life is the same, why do I wake up different every day? Believe it or not, I do wake up in good moods. I mean, bad moods sometimes. I'm always so chipper. But we're different. We're in flux constantly. That's man. You look in the Old Testament. You look at the children of Israel. When Moses gathered them around and said, he told them, you're going to be a kingdom of priests. You're a special people, a holy nation. He told them what God had required. And all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do it, Moses. We're with you. Everything that God wants from us, we got it. We are those people. We're that special people. We're going to be that peculiar nation. We're going to be that kingdom of priests. That's who we want to be, Moses. Yes. And so Moses departs and leaves them alone, and he goes up on the mountain. And there in that mountain is when God would speak to him and give him the Ten Commandments. And Moses is gone for a day, and another day, and another day, and another day leads into a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. And what the people do? The people down in the valley got scared. They did what people do when they get scared. They panicked, just like we do sometimes. They panicked. And they, well, is Moses coming back? Where'd Moses go? Aaron, is he coming back? I don't know. Where'd he go? He shouldn't be gone this long. The guy, surely he brought us all the way out here in the wilderness just to die. Once again, we're going to die. We don't have a leader. Where'd he go? What happened? They panicked. And so what'd they do? They reverted back to an old lifestyle. They forgot all about the faithful God, and they reverted back to a faithful past. They had more faith in their past than they did in their God. So they gathered up all their gold, earrings, necklaces, bracelets, all of that stuff. They brought it to Aaron, and they said, make us a God. And so Aaron boiled it all down, and they made a calf out of that. And they started worshiping the calf. In Egypt, when they were slaves, the Egyptian worshiped the bull. And so these people, they forgot all about the faithful God and reverted back to a past that did nothing but enslave them and hurt them. They forgot all about a faithful God and reverted back to something that kept them in bondage for so long. And that's what we do with God so often. We forget that he's faithful, and we run back. The scripture would say like a dog to its vomit. We run back to those things that held us captive for so long. Why? Because for whatever weird, twisted reason, there's comfort in that. We find comfort in pain because we can't stand the uncertainty of the timing of God. We can't stand that. It took them less than 40 days to completely change what they had told Moses. We'll be here when you get back. To making a God that they could work. 40 days. You think that sounds ridiculous, but we make pledges to God all the time in an altar. We run to him all the time in our prayer rooms at home, in our closet, whatever, in our bedroom, wherever it is we pray, and we profess to God, I want to be called. I want to be used. I want to do those great things. I want to teach Bible studies. I want to be that person. I want to do all of those great things. And then it doesn't happen like you think it should happen. And what do? Well, God couldn't use me. I'm just nothing. I mean, yeah, it felt good when I was in prayer, but that was all hype, right? That was just a hype of the moment. I was worked up into a frenzy because it was felt great, and I was saying all the right stuff, and I was praying in tongues, and like, all this great stuff happening, and maybe it was a church, and the music was great, and the atmosphere was just awesome, and I just couldn't contain myself, so I promised God my life. And then it didn't happen, and we forget all about the faithful God, and we go right back to the vomit. We go right back to that putrid attitude of inferiority. That I can't really be who I should be. That I can't really be what God has called me to be. And Moses come down from the mountain. He's like, what is going on? We put all our gold in the pot and this thing jumped out. No, it didn't. It did not, you bunch of lying jerks. Like, it didn't happen that way. You panicked. You couldn't wait a few weeks. You couldn't wait on the promises of God for just a short time. But they forgot the faithful God. Look in the New Testament. Look at Peter. There's many examples. But you can find in Matthew 26, you can find Peter when Jesus is telling them, his disciples, what's going to happen. I'm going to go. I'm going to be betrayed. I'm going to die. And all this. And Peter's like, no, you're not. I wouldn't betray you. No. That's not going to happen. And he said, Peter, you're going to betray me even tonight. No, I would never betray you. I would die for you. I would die with you. That's never going to happen. With passion, he would say that. That's never. You're crazy. Make that a real conversation. It sounds good in the King James. I would never betray thee. With passion in real life, it's two guys talking to each other. You're nuts if you think I would do that, Scott. How long have we known each other and you think that I'm going to just not even acknowledge you? Really? Seriously? That's all you think about me? Like, really? Jesus is like, we'll see. We'll see. And so we know how that story turned out. Why? Because change is woven into mankind. And it affects how we view God sometimes. It affects how we treat God. But we can trust in his faithfulness. We can trust that he will never leave us or forsake us. We may not like the answer. Look in the book of Jonah when he went to Nineveh. Nineveh was an evil city. They were doing all kinds of stuff. It kind of reminds you of modern day society, only probably worse. Of our modern day society. It was a filthy, nasty place. They were doing all kinds of putrid sin. So Jonah goes walking into that city and he has a word from God for the Ninevites. Judgment is coming on you. Judgment is coming lest you repent. For 3 days he would holler that out in the streets. Judgment is coming. Judgment is coming. Judgment is coming. And then you know what he did? He didn't want them to repent. Jonah got out of Dodge. Goes outside the city, climbs up on a rock where he can look down and overlook the valley to watch the impending judgment happen. Why? Because he's a prophet. He said it was going to happen. So now he's like, they're going to get what they deserve. Jonah didn't want them to repent because Jonah knew the moment they repent, God is faithful and judgment would be stayed. Judgment wouldn't happen to those people. The moment they cried out to God, regardless of their past, regardless of the atrocities, they're sacrificing babies and all of that stuff that they were doing, regardless of all of that sin, the moment they cried out to God, God's word said, if they'll repent, I won't perform my judgment on them. And what did Nineveh do? They repented. And Jonah's up there all pouting because judgment didn't happen. Because inside of Jonah, he knew that God was faithful. There's an enemy that gets in your head constantly because he does not want you and I to call out to God. Because he knows the moment you call out to God, he'll help you. The moment you cry out in repentance, God will forgive you. The moment you cry out for help, God will be there and meet you. And there's an enemy that goes about like a roaring lion every single day trying to keep you from that. Why do you think it's so hard to pray? Why do you think it's so hard to find time to pray? Because there's an enemy that does not want you to pray. He understands. The devil was number two guy. He was beautiful. He was the angel of light. He was a worship leader. The Bible describes him. He was a magnificent creature. All of that stuff. And Mr. Magnificent, got in his head that he wanted to be number one. And he approached God about it. And what happened? He felt the faithfulness of God. There is none beside me. I will share my glory with no one. And he was booted out of heaven. Kicked out. Forever damned to eternity. Apart from God. So the devil intrinsically understands the faithfulness of God. Your enemy really knows what faithfulness means. He experienced that. He pushed the line on that one. He went a little too far with that. He understands the faithfulness of God. And that's why he will try to get you as far away from God as he can. Because in your lowest, most miserable, darkest moment, when you cry out to God, what's going to happen? Call unto me, and I will answer you. Seek. And you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened. You think the devil doesn't know that? That's why it's hard for you to get a breakthrough in your life. That's why he opposes those breakthroughs. That's why he opposes and you're feeling the things that you're feeling. He doesn't want you in that place. He doesn't want you to think about God. Why? Because he knows, Kyle, the minute you repent, you'll be forgiven. The minute you turn away from sin, you'll be made new. You'll be made whole. The minute you need provision, you call on God, he'll answer you. The minute you need something from God, your enemy knows that. If you don't know your enemy, you don't know what you're fighting. You're going to be frustrated. That's the modern version of Sun Tzu, The Art of War. I don't read that. There's enough people quoting that trying to sound wise. I don't need to read the book. I've seen all the quotes and put it all together. But you got to know your enemy. You got to know who you're fighting. When it's hard to pray, there's a reason it's hard to pray. It's not just because you don't feel like praying. It's because there's something you need, and your enemy knows that you need it. And he knows the minute you call out, it's over for him. God will answer you. When Peter follows them after they take Jesus in the garden, he tries to stop it, cuts somebody's ear off. Jesus picks the ear up, heals him, and says, stop. This is supposed to happen. You chill out. Calm down, buddy. Chill. This has got to happen, okay? And so they take him away. Peter goes following at a distance. Jesus is on trial. Peter's outside, keeping warm by the fire. And what happened? Some people said, hey, aren't you one of his followers? Mm-mm. Me? No. Are you? No. Yeah, no. I think you're a follower of his. No, I'm not. No. Just trying to keep warm, just like the rest of you. Can you relate to that? Are you really a Pentecostal? Well, I mean, we're like the more calm version. Liar. Well, I mean, we don't handle snakes, but, and we try immediately to start justifying. We're really denying him is what we're doing. We're afraid of telling people who and what we are. But then they come back again and say, I've seen you with him. You're one of his followers, I'm sure. I don't even know the guy. And what happened in the background? What did he hear? Exactly what Jesus said would happen. And the scripture tells us that Jesus would turn and look at Peter and imagine that it was the dagger of guilt that would just be plunged into his chest. Imagine that feeling of guilt that would hit him and grief that he just betrayed his master. He did exactly what Jesus told him he was going to do. But notice Peter's response to that. The scripture says that he went out from that place and wept bitterly. He repented. And the faithfulness of God brought him back and restored him. And after the crucifixion and the resurrection, when the women came to the grave, they came to the graveside and the angel was there and Jesus wasn't. He had rose. He had risen from the dead. And they said, the angel said to the woman, go tell his disciples and Peter. And when I read that, I thought, man, how powerful is that? The faithfulness of God. That's like every time you come into a church service after having messed up or having doubt or having anything in you, and everybody's feeling the presence of God. And it's like, you know what? He's just saying, I'm going to let my presence settle on that place and on Kyle. I'm going to let my presence, everybody in there is going to feel my presence, and Michael, and Scott, and Sergio, and each one of us. That's the faithfulness of God. He knew what Peter was feeling. He knew, and he wanted Peter to know, Peter, it's fine. You repented. I forgive you. Go get Peter. Bring him back. That's the faithfulness of God. That's how faithful that he is. He wouldn't let Peter just run away, crawl under a rock. Notice Judas's response when he betrayed him. Could Judas have repented? Sure. The Bible says he went out and hanged himself. Your response matters. Your response doesn't change his faithfulness or lack of response. He's faithful. We can trust him when we don't understand what he's doing. It says, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. See, our trust in him assures we can continue believing in him, even if we don't understand what he does. Look at the life of Job. A perfect and upright man, most upright man in all the land, had everything. Job was rich. Job had all these kids and houses and farms and animals and all this stuff and all these crops. And what happened? Within a day, It's gone. Everything's taken from him. Everything is gone. Everything that Job knows and that Job is familiar with is taken. And you know what's really cool about that story? Is God didn't go over to Job and lean down in his ear and say, "Hey, Job, now, this is all happening, but you're going to be revered as a giant for generations. Thousands of years later, they're going to be standing in churches preaching up until the day of my return for my church. They're going to be telling your story, buddy. This is going to be worth it. You're going to be famous. Job, this is all for a testimony. Job, you just stay the course. I'm going to restore everything that I took from you tenfold. I'm going to restore everything back. Just stay the course, Job." He didn't tell him why he was doing what he was doing. He didn't say, "Job, they will publish your story in the most read book, the most copied book, the most survived book on planet Earth in the history of the world, Job. You're going to be one of a very select few people mentioned in that book, Job, for your suffering. Because of what you're going through, Job, all men will know that I am faithful." He didn't tell him. He did not tell Job, "This is why you're dealing with what you're dealing with, Job." He didn't tell him that. Can you endure the suffering without knowing why? Can you endure what you're going through without knowing why you're going through it? That's when believing that God is faithful comes into play. You've got to believe that he's faithful. In spite of everything that Job was going through, listen to the scriptures, what it would say. He said, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold." Faithful God, really? Took my kids? I mean, you could have everything else, but why'd you take my kids? My future, my lineage, faithful God, really? You want to talk about faithful? All my friends think that I must have messed up. My wife is criticizing me. Faithful? Really? You want to talk about faithful? You don't sound very faithful. You sound hateful. That could have been the story. But the response, "I don't understand why I'm going through what I'm going through. I don't understand the suffering. I don't understand the pain. I don't understand the process, God. I don't understand it, but I know inside of me that my Redeemer lives. I know that I'll stand at that day and I will see him. I know that I'll look into his face. I know that he lives and has a purpose for what I'm going through. I know that down deep inside of me. I know that he lives." Hebrews 10:23 says, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised." Regardless of what we go through and whether or not we understand our trials, God is faithful. Abraham trusted God. He trusted in his faithfulness. He walked with God. He waited 25 years for a promised son. He would never find the city that he was looking for, but he trusted God. He walked with God. And because God is faithful, we know that he'll keep his promises. We know that he cannot lie. The scripture that I opened with was, "The faithful God which keepeth covenant." Covenant is a pact, an agreement, a contract, a promise. In Psalms 89 and 34 says, "My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips." 2 Corinthians 1:20 says, "For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us." Thessalonians 5:24 says, "Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it." Lamentations 3:22 and 23 says, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." So as you stand with me, I'm closing. I would ask you, can you trust God? In your mind's eye, is he the faithful God? Is he the true God? Is he the only king forever? Is there a point to my suffering? Is there a point to my trial? Is there a point to what I'm going through? Is the hand of God on my life, or is it not on my life? Does the enemy know me? You bet he does. Does the enemy want me reaching out to God? You bet he doesn't. And he's going to do everything he can to try to distract you and keep you from it. I had a dream last night. I couldn't even remember it until we were singing. And it just came back. I was trying to remember it all morning because it scared me to death. Woke up breathing hard, got up and walked around the house, made sure there wasn't no burglars in there or anything. Turned lights on, turned lights off, had a ball bat and shotgun, all that stuff. Scared to death. I could not remember this dream. And it was bugging me to death. And we were singing in it, like it just flashed back to me. And it was of someone that's in this room. And every time that God works in that person's life, something happens to them physically. Every time. And I had a dream that there was this serpent that was latched onto their jaw. And it was there. And it was like, I know it's there, but I can't just yank it off. What do I do? And it was just hanging there. And it was like, just let it alone. Just try to work around it. Just try to move around it. And in that dream, it was like, no. And I had a pair of scissors. And I just walked up and cut the head off of that thing. And before I did it, I said, no, this thing's going to go nuts. Have you ever cut the head off a snake? I hate snakes, so it's really fun. Shoot it in the head or cut the head off of it. I'm not promoting animal cruelty, but snakes are devils. I have cut the head off of a snake. The body of that snake goes absolutely nuts when that happens. It's one of the reasons I'm so scared of snakes is because when I did that, the thing went crazy. It scared me to death. But I said, this thing is going to go nuts. It's going to absolutely go crazy here in just a second, but it'll all be over. I reached out and I cut the head off of it, and it went nuts. And the jaws fell open, and it fell to the ground, and it was gone. That's the faithfulness of God. But sometimes you're going to have to cut the head off of the snake. You're going to have to remove doubt that's got its clamps on you. You're going to have to remove the inferiorities that's got its clamps sunk into you that you can't be what God has called you to be. If everybody in this church, from this side to this side, myself included, would stop believing the lies of the enemy and be who God has called you to be, you don't even want to know what would happen in this town. We'd solve a lot of problems. We would solve a lot of issues, societal issues in this city. That's not hype talk. That's not to be received with a smirk like, oh, that sounds good, that's great. If you believe this, you are called of God to change your world. You're a holy nation, a peculiar people. It's who you are. And in the silent times when Moses is gone receiving the law, when your children are gone, your houses, all your possessions are gone, when all that stuff is gone, when you've denied him and you've messed up and you've failed, and all of that stuff is happening, is he faithful? Is he the faithful God? Because his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. I can't comprehend what he's doing. I don't know what he's up to. I just have to trust him. I just have to believe that he is the faithful God. That scripture says he keeps his covenant to 1,000 generations that will love him. You continue to read on in the scripture. Joshua would talk to the people, and then they would do the same. Yes, we're here.